You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Proverbs 18. Hallelujah. I choose the call. Proverbs 18, I just got this stirring in me also. Still kind of along the lines of the thought life. You know, we've been teaching on thoughts, and even when we talked about Psalms 37, about trusting God Sunday morning, we talked a lot about trusting God, resting in God, get out of your thought life, be not envious of workers of iniquity or evil workers, where they prosper in their way, they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Trust in the Lord, do good, you'll dwell in the land. Amen. You'll just trust God, you'll be fine. A lot of the turmoil you're going through and the pain you're going through and the emotional ups and downs and highs and lows that you and I experience have to do with what you're thinking about. It has to do with your thought life. It's what fills your mind. Hello. Whether you're believing or you're not believing, whether you're trusting, whether you're not trusting. See, what you're meditating on, you could be meditating on pain, defeat, rejection, all those kinds of things. All that's going to do is just create a mood in your life and affect your emotions. And the turmoil and anxiety you and I go through have to do with what we're thinking about. Now, having said that, and you know that's the case, there are certain subjects that can come up, people that can come up, that can bring pain to you. Ruin your day. Hello. Because what you're thinking of. Well, since that is the case, not if, since it is, and you know it is, then if you change your thinking, you can change your mood. That went over real big. Can't control my mood. Yes, you can. A whole lot more than you think you can. In fact, your thinking is what the problem is. Hello. Your emotions, your mood, your attitude, your outlook, your perception, all has to do with the way you're thinking. That's why the Bible has so much to say about renewing the mind. And we've gone over several of those scriptures. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." That's why 2 Corinthians 10:4 tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, the casting down of imaginations, and every high thing thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So you got to learn to captivate your thinking. You got to learn to choose. You say, "Well, I can't choose what I think about." Sure you can. You can choose where you go. You can choose what direction you take. You get in your car. You make decisions. You step out and you start walking. You start talking. You choose what you say. You can choose what you think about. Now, you can't always choose the thoughts that come, but you can choose what you think about. Does that make sense? Thoughts are going to come, but I choose whether I think about them or not. I can't control thoughts coming, but I can control what I think about. And that's a discipline. Amen? That is a discipline you and I need to develop. Hallelujah. Psalms 18. Found it? Proverbs 18, excuse me. Proverbs 18. Notice what it says. In this verse, when I first read it, you may not catch it, but I'm going to tie it in. I am going somewhere with this. Proverbs 18, verse 14 says, "The spirit of man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Or a wounded spirit." I think that's interesting that even physical pain can be overcome by the spirit and the strength of the will and what you meditate on and think on, your outlook and your attitude. Even doctors today, medical science has proven that a person with the right attitude can heal quicker than the one with the wrong attitude. People sometimes give up. Yeah. Are you with me? And it affects their healing process. Yeah. I mean, stress. Think about all that's written and all the studies that have been done about stress. Often when blood pressure is an issue, doctors will actually doctors will actually ask you. Maybe that's why I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to enunciate, you know. They will actually ask you, and I've had them ask me this before, "Are you under any kind of stress?" Hello. Well, what kind of question is that for a doctor to ask? Under stress, blood pressure, stress, what's that got to do then? It has everything to do with it. They know that better than anybody. Stress affects us, see? What we're thinking about, what we're chewing on, gnawing on, what we're bitter about, angry about, what we're in doubt about. Hello. Well, it says that's the case. Let's just flip that coin. That's what God, this is why God says so much about meditation and thought life and what we say. Because we can turn that thing around. We can start trusting God. We can start thinking good. We can start praying. We can start believing. We can start getting a better attitude from His promises. And you know what? Affect our body and our life and our business and our marriage and our outcomes. Our attitudes and moods and emotions have more to do with what we're thinking about, what we're believing or not believing, what we're fearful about or what we're trusting God about, has more to do with that than we give credit to, according to the Word. Amen? So it says here, the spirit of man will sustain him in sickness. Wow. You can get through some tough times if you've got a good attitude and your spirit is pumped full of the God's Word and you know what God says and you're believing and trusting Him. You can get through some crisis. You can get through some tough times. Not to say it won't happen. Of course it will. But you can get through it, hallelujah, because of your attitude, because of your trust, your faith, your meditation. Amen. The spirit of man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? Man, you get a guy that's discouraged or dismayed or down or depressed. I'm telling you what, he can be healthy physically. And yet he is just a bundle of inactivity. He's not going to move. He's not going to do anything. He's going to crawl in a hole, get in a closet, and shut the door and turn the lights out and put on the blues music. Completely ineffective, miserable, and yet there's nothing really physically wrong with him. Everything that's wrong is on the inside. See, at some point we've got to realize this, that we really do live from the inside out. And if we'll get that inside right, the rest of it will have to line up. God preaches that from Genesis to Revelation. That if you'll get in faith and you'll get in the Word and you'll get the Word in you, you'll change the outside of you. You can make a difference. You can start having better moods, start being in a better mood, have a better attitude, better outlook, and more success in your life even. And more success as a Christian, as a husband, as a wife, as a father, a mother, and so on and so forth. In fact, it is this same chapter, Proverbs, that he says in the 20th verse, a man's belly or stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Now we're getting some insight. How do you turn that thing around? How do you turn your thinking around? Well, you can turn your talking around. It's all connected. If you'll turn your talking around, you can turn your thinking around. Turn your thinking around, you can turn your talking around. It's kind of like an endless cycle, see? If you'll start saying what God says when crisis happens, then you'll start thinking about what God says when crisis happens, because that's what's coming out of your mouth. Amen? It'll change your mood, change your attitude and your outlook, and it'll change the outcome. Amen? A man's stomach shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. Everybody say fruit. I love that. That's just produce. What, you know, it's what it's. In other words, what you say, your words are seeds. This is just confession and 101. I'm talking about thoughts and words. What you say are seeds planted. You can discourage people with your words. You can encourage people with your words. You can discourage yourself with your words, or you can encourage yourself with your words. Discourage means to take away courage. Just like you're getting off a horse, they call that dismount. You know what mount a horse is? Okay. If you dismount, that means, you know what to engage is? To disengage be the opposite of engage. It'd be opposite of mount, dismount. So discourage would be the opposite of courage. Hello. And when someone's discouraged, they have no courage. They have no boldness, see. But when you encourage, then you put courage in them. Ooh, I like that. You encourage. How do you do that? You do that with your words. You do what you say. Now you can do that with someone else, and you can do it with yourself. So if you feel dismayed or discouraged, then why don't you turn that around and encourage yourself in the Lord? Yes. How? With your mouth. A man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth, and from the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Produce of his lips produce things. I often hear people say, I just feel so bad. I'm just going under. I don't think I'm going to make it. It's not going to turn around. Well, you know what? You're producing that. Because what you're saying over and over, you are producing. I mean, it's not deep. It's just real simple. We teach this all the time, but I think sometimes we need to be reminded. In fact, I don't think we need to be taught so much as we do need to be reminded. Amen. Actually, I think as Ben Johnson, the poet, said, you must teach as if you taught them not and bring out things new as if they were things forgot. You got to chew on that one. That's really a pretty witty saying. But we know these things. We just need to be reminded of these things. And so what we're saying is producing things. People say, well, I was just talking. Well, no, you're just producing. It's like a machine, see? It's producing things. So what is it that you're trying to produce here? What kind of plow are you putting your hand to? Or your mouth to? If it's demeaning, discouraging, if it's defeatist, if it's going under, if it's godless in its talk, where is God in your talk? Where is God in your situation? Then you are producing that kind of outcome. You're producing that kind of, you know, that kind of mood, emotion, and that will be the result of what the result will be what you say. A man's belly shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Now we've heard this verse over and over and over, especially in this church. We've heard it. But you know, it bears repeating. What are you saying about yourself? What are you saying about your future? What are you saying about your marriage? What are you saying about your business? What are you saying about the country? What are you saying about the economy? What are you saying? I don't know about the economy. To tell you the truth, I don't have that kind of control. I'm not God, but I do know about my life and my family. Amen. I do know what the promises say about me. Amen. I pray for my country and lift up my country and hope things turn out great. And I tell you, just me being here is going to make a difference. Amen. You being here is going to make a difference. You live here. This is your country. Your prayers count. They count for something. The real power is not in the White House. The real power is in your house on your knees praying in Jesus' name. Watch what you say. Watch what you pray. Are you with me? Watch what you repeat over and over and over and over. Woo, hallelujah. Are you with me? Or you'll buy the lie. See, the devil's playing you. And he's playing you through the media. He often plays us through the media because he has such a big presence there.
That's right.
But we have to decide we're not going to play that game. Amen? Play all they want to, and I don't play it. Hello? I'm not going to play that game. I'm going to find out what God says. Amen?
Amen?
And I'm going to meditate on what God says, and I'm going to be satisfied by the fruit of my mouth, not by the fruit of their mouth. And it's going to be the produce of my lips, not their lips, that determine my outcome. Amen?
Yeah.
It's only when you let what they say become what you say that it makes a difference in your life. It doesn't matter what anybody says about you. What matters is what you say about you. So don't let what they say become what you say unless what they say is what God says. You get that? You don't have to, see? You feel like you're trapped. You're not trapped. You're only trapped with your tongue, that's all. You're trapped by what you say. You can turn around everything. You can make a difference. You can make a change. You can change your world. Hallelujah. By what you're believing and what you're saying. Hallelujah. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love shall eat of its fruit. Eat the fruit thereof, King James Version says. Well, I'm going to start eating some fruit that I'm saying, that I'm producing. I'm going to quit eating that old fruit everybody else is producing and saying. Now, you know, what do I say? Well, say the word. Find out what God says. You know, we're big around here about quoting Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lots of times I'll just get scriptures out. In fact, I've got several scriptures written out that are prosperity scriptures. I have several on healing. Hello. Got some on salvation. Just encourage myself. Thank God I'm saved. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. Hallelujah. It's just wonderful to meditate on our great salvation. Amen. But then there's scriptures on peace. And there's scriptures. I mean, any subject you can come up with, God has a lot to say about it. Now, what you got to do is say what God says. And that's going to change you. Your spirit will sustain you in troubled times. It'll sustain you in crisis. Your spirit will. Wow. Your words will produce things that you can live off of and eat off of. Man's belly can be satisfied by the fruit of his lips. By his mouth, by the increase of his lips, shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Woo, I'm having what I say, not what everybody else says. You know, it's important. Two things really in life. There's two things that are very important what you say. It's important what you say about yourself, and it's important what you say about God. David over and over would say things like, I will say of the Lord. He is my rock, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. See, he was very cautious what he said about God. Well, what's God doing here? Well, see, he didn't talk a lot like that. He would say God took care of him. God was his refuge. God was his fortress. God was his supply. God was his healer. Are you with me? I cried to the Lord and he heard me and healed me. Woo! He was very cautious what he said about God and then what he said about himself. Amen? So you can turn it around. You can turn that attitude around. You can turn it, your outlook, your mood, your emotions. You can get a grip on them. You have more control over your emotions than you think you do. It's not all chemical. Could be somewhat chemical. I mean, obviously, if you're cranking down some, you know, quadruple shot grande Starbucks, you might have a downtime after that, about an hour or two after. My suggestion is go back and get you another one. Or you know, if you eat a pound of chocolate, don't think that that high is going to last all day long. I mean, there are some chemical reactions there you got to realize here. But I think most of what we go through is just what we think on all the time. Yeah. What we meditate on. And that translates into what we say. And man, that's when we get in trouble. We start saying the wrong thing. You can't see your way out because you won't say your way out. You can't see how you'll make it because you won't say you'll make it. Job 22, turn there. Hallelujah. This is kind of a primer, reminder. These are things we know, especially here in this church. Job 22. You know, sometimes you just got to zip your lip. If you can't say something positive and you can't trust God, just be quiet. There's lots of times I've had to do that. Because, man, I wanted to just start rattling. I'm just, you know, upset or, and I just need to be quiet till I can get in faith. That's right. Amen? Yeah, that's right. By all means, get in faith. Don't stay silent. Right. Don't settle in silence. Psalms 94:17 tells us that. We don't want to settle in silence. We want to get in faith, but you better get in faith before you start talking. Because you'll talk up a world of trouble. We talk about preaching up a storm. We talk up a storm. It just affects our whole body gets to shaking. You ever done that? Just talk yourself right into a fit. Okay, Tracy agrees with me. She knows what I'm talking about. Job 22, verse 28. Very familiar scripture. Many of you could quote this, should know this. Notice what it says here. It says, you also, Job 22, verse 28, you will also decree a thing and it will be established for you, so light will shine on your ways. I love that verse. I just love that verse. That's the basis for part of our confession. Even when we make a confession here for years, we've confessed details about what we're believing for and standing on. And I based a lot of it on that, because as you decree things, God shows you how to get it done. But if you never say it, He won't give you the creativity, the insight to make it happen. A lot of times we'll say, well, you know, I got this crisis, or I got this mountain on my, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't guess it's going to turn out. Whoa, slow down. Start saying, you know what? It's not too big for God. God's bigger than this. And the Bible says I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me, and that I'm an overcomer because I believe Jesus is the Christ. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. This is nothing for God, and it's nothing for me. All things are possible to God, and all things are possible to him that believeth. That's right. See, you start talking that way, and all of a sudden, God will start showing you how to get out of the mess. Yeah. He'll shine light on what you say. Right. You can't see your way out because you won't say your way out. decree a thing, and it, what you decree, will be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your way to get it done, to make it happen. Hello? See, so our outlook, or our attitude, or our perception concerning this thing is determined by what we say about it. If we'll say we can be what God says we can be, we can do what God says we can do, we can have what God says we can have, all of a sudden, God starts showing you how to make it happen. And at that point, make it happen, Captain. Just make it happen. Just do it. Do what God shows you to do. But if you don't start saying it, you won't know what to do next. So, well, I don't know what to do. Well, I can tell you what you do right now. Right now, you need to start saying what God says is true. You can do what God says you can do. Well, yeah, but I mean, I don't know about all this. Well, don't worry about everything else. Just start saying that. Get your spirit built up. Get your faith built up. Start saying it's possible. I can. It will happen. God will do it. God's word is true. Amen? Then the details will just start coming together. The details don't come first. Understanding how to make it happen doesn't come first. Believing God comes first. Faith comes first. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith we understand. Not through understanding we believe. Make sense? You got to first speak. You got to first say. Psalms 119 verse 130 says, the entrance of thy word giveth light. And it gives understanding to the simple. Wow. How does understanding come? The word's got to enter first. How does the word enter in your life? Right here. Your spiritual flashlight. Flip it on. Shine some light on something. I taught one time on confession, in fact, taught that verse, Job 22:28, and also Psalms 119:130, and also Genesis 1:3, where it says, God said, let there be light, and there was light. And I call that message, speaking shines light on what is spoken. Well, I just can't see how that happened. Well, you need to shine a little light on it. Well, Pastor, I know what you're saying, but I just can't see that. Well, that's because you won't shine light on it. You got your flashlight over, shining over here on failure and defeat. Hello? You got this thing pulled over this way. I can't make it. It's never going to happen. See, you're shining. We're trying to walk this way. What are you doing with your flashlight back over behind you? Turn the flashlight around and start shining it on victory. Speaking God's word. And then all of a sudden, well, you know, I know what you're saying there, Pastor, but I just can't see it. Get it?
Yeah.
I can't see it. No, you'll never see it till you say it. Because saying it shines light on it. The entrance of thy word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. Decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. So if you'll say God's word, you know what happened? You'll shine light on God's word. And you know what? If you get more light on it, you can see it. You know, if the sun's real bright, I don't even need my reading glasses. Now, I don't know what you're thinking. You believe God, you wouldn't need them at all. Well, you get rid of your wrinkles when you get older, and I'll get rid of reading glasses. My eyes are fine. Are you with me? Stay with me on this point, though. If I get enough light, I can see it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you young folk don't figure that out yet, but you will later. You get enough light on it, you can see it. I can read sometimes without my reading glasses. Real fine print. I was reading a little bitty Bible on the way to Dallas yesterday, I think it was. Yeah, went yesterday. And we had a little Bible in the car, and fine print. One of those, you know, pocket Bibles. But the sun was bright. Brenda was driving. That's why I do my best studying, you know, when Brenda's driving. I opened that thing up. Before long, I'd read several chapters and realized I didn't even have my reading glasses on. Just because there was so much light on it. If you get enough light on something, you can see it. The reason you can't see victory is because we have done nothing but shine light on failure and defeat. It's on our TV. It's on the front page of the newspaper. It's at the gas station when you stop and talk to somebody. Your relatives, your neighbors, your friends, and God forbid sometimes your church brothers and sisters agree with you. And you just shine light and light and light on defeat, failure, and that's all you can see. Hello. Some point we've got to turn that thing around. And you're going to turn around with what you say. Because if your spirit's down and broken, there's nobody can help you. I mean, really, I talk to people and they want me to help them, but I just cannot help them. They are killing themselves with their mouth, killing themselves with their attitude. I can't get them to stop saying it. After I correct them 4 or 5 times in about 1 minute, I know I'm in trouble. Well, don't do that. Let's start believing God. And then, here they go again. Thinking, no. It's just like they got a loaded gun, just shooting themselves in the foot. And turn Isaiah 40. This helping you? Amen. It's basic confession 101. We all know this, but you know, you need to be reminded. Amen. Isaiah 40. I love this chapter. I love the whole chapter. Just awesome. Book's awesome. Isaiah 40. Notice the lead in here. I think we all know where it starts out. Hast thou not heard? Hast thou not known? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor grows weary. We know that, 28th verse. But you know what led up to that? This is interesting. I think we often miss this. The 27th verse says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God. The New Living Translation here says, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? How often do we let that come out of our mouth, I wonder? How often do we say, where is God? Why am I not getting this answer? Why is this not turning around? Why am I not getting the help here? Well, you know what God's saying is, you need to quit saying that. How can you say that? And then he goes into the 28th verse. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Y'all catching this? And so we know that verse. We've heard that verse. But oftentimes I don't think we get it in context. He says, we're saying we can't make it. We're saying God's nowhere. He's just not coming on the scene. He's not helping me. God's not showing up. He doesn't know the trouble I see. What? Where have you been? Do you not know? Have you not heard? Hello? You're talking like somebody that's never been in church. Whoa. You're talking like someone who's never heard about this God. Wow. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. Not know. He knows everything. Not aware of your situation. My goodness, he knows more about your situation than you do. Amen?
Amen.
He gives power to the weak. Get ready. Amen? Get ready, because he gives power to the weak. Feeling kind of weak? God gives power to the weak. Joel 3:10 says, let the weak say, I'm strong. Let them what? Let them say, I'm strong. I always get tickled at that, because I've talked to people. I mean, I've had people tell me, look me right in the eye and say, I can't say that. I'm weak. And I go, well, now it says, let the weak say, I'm strong. That's right, I'm weak. And I said, well, you're the one that he said to say, I'm strong. Yeah, but I can't say that. I'm weak. That's when I want to go, I can't help you. Hello. Feeling weak? Say you're strong. I can't do that, Pastor. I'm weak. Well, you are the one he told to say, I'm strong. Amen? See, you got to turn the thing around with what you say. You got to turn your thoughts around, and sometimes your thought, to get the slack of that chain jerked out, as we say, you know, in your thought life, you have to jump start it with your mouth. Say it. Say what God says. So I don't know if I believe it or not. You know better than that. You know it's the truth. Maybe you're not all stirred up about it. But you know it's the truth. And if you will say it, often our faith really, we're not necessarily saying our faith sometimes. Sometimes we're speaking unto faith. Or confessing unto faith. Sometimes I'm not necessarily confessing my faith. I'm not really there. I'm kind of down. In the natural, I'm really going through this thing. Are you with me? I'm kind of in turmoil. But you know, I know what God's word says is true. Generally speaking, it's just not working in my life right now. But I know enough to know that I need to say it because God says so. And you know what? If I will say it enough, I'll confess unto faith. Does that make sense? Because we're waiting around a lot of times till we feel like we're faith man, faith woman. Well, no, you just got to jump start the thing. You got to get it going. You got to start saying it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. There's nobody you hear more than yourself. There's no confession you hear more than your confession. And many times our confession is not necessarily a confession of faith. It's confession unto faith. We're trying to build our faith. But if you don't ever confess it, you'll never get in faith. So don't say the wrong thing. How can you say that? How can you say God doesn't hear you? How can you say it's not going to work? How have you not known? Have you not heard? Ooh, boy, this is pretty powerful. It's a rebuke, but it's good stuff. Have you not known? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary? His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Amplified says, causing it to multiply and making it to abound. I love that. You need a little multiplication of strength? Well, God gives it. And it starts with you saying the right thing. Amen? Amen. And not saying the wrong thing. Don't be saying, where's God? Don't be saying, I can't make it. Don't say, God's forgotten you. Don't say, God doesn't want me to have this. When he said he wants you to have it, he wants you to have it. Amen. And he knows where you are, and he knows what you're going through, and you will come out of it if you'll just keep saying what God says. So he increases strength. Hallelujah. You ever felt weak? You know, I love that verse I quoted in Joel 3:10. Let the weak say I'm strong. Ephesians 6:10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Ooh, I love it. Amen. 30th verse says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall utterly fall, but those who wait on the Lord. Wait a minute. Yeah, but the news just said, well, wait a minute. Yeah, but my neighbor just said, wait a minute. Well, I just thought, whoa, wait a minute. Wait on the Lord. Have you waited on him and see what he has to say? Let's wait till we find out what God says before we start talking. Let's wait to find out what God says before we start thinking. Because those pictures and those images and those scenarios and those thoughts and those words going around in your head are going to destroy you if they're not in line with God's word. And sometimes we may not know what God says, but you know, you ought to wait till you find out what God says. Yeah, but they said, well, now wait, do you know what God said? See, we start talking before we find out what God said. I'll get this across in a minute. And you'll shout and holler and scream when you get it. We speak too quick. We hear something, we say it. And we need to wait. Wait, what do you mean wait? Wait to speak till we've heard what God says. What does God say about that? Wait, those that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. I tell you, a bad report can sometimes sap your strength. But if you wait and hear what God says, you can renew your strength. You can hear something negative, and sometimes it does. It saps your strength. We're not saying you don't have problems, you don't have crisis, you don't have turmoil, you don't have, you know, these emotions and moods you go through. Of course we do. But we're saying you can get out of that, you can turn it around, you can change that mood, you can change that emotion, you can change the outcome. Ooh, hallelujah. When you're weak, say you're strong. Amen? Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. Oh, man, that is so good. That, in fact, this here says, those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The Young's little translation says, those expecting Jehovah pass to power. What are you expecting? Mm-hmm. You expecting the bad report, or are you expecting Jehovah, God? If you're expecting Him, you'll pass to power, see? It's like that train stop. We talked about this if you're on a train track. There's all kinds of stops on a train. You know, if you were coming from Dallas to Wills Point, you'd come through, you know, Forney and then Terrell and then, well, Mesquite, Forney, Terrell, Wills Point. You know, and then the guy up front in the old days, you know, the engineer would say, next stop, you know, Mesquite. Well, you just stay on there and stay on there because that's not where you want to get off. Next stop, Forney. If you don't want to get off at Forney, you just stay on there and stay on there. Next stop, Terrell. See, I think many of us get off too quick. And we don't wait. We get off too quick. I got this going on in my life. This is where my life is taking me. No, that's where you got off. If you kept trusting God, you'd go right on down to Wills Point, Texas. Yippee-ki-yi-yay. Hello. But you got off, and you got to watch where you get off. Or you might say, where you go off. Where you go off talking. Where you go off confessing and speaking, where you go off. Don't get off. If you don't want to go off there or get off there, stay on the train and just wait. You'll pass to power. The Amplified says, those who expect or look for and hope in Him shall change and renew their strength and power. Ooh, hallelujah. What are you looking for? What are you expecting? Well, I can tell you what you're looking for and expecting, what you're saying. Amen. Decree a thing, it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon your ways. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You know the story of David. I won't go over the whole story, but you know it. Where he was at Ziklag, and he and his cohorts, you know, had come into the city of Ziklag where he was staying. And some people had come in and took his wives and his kids and spoil and took everything. I mean, it was just devastating, disastrous. Kind of like a hurricane came through. Everything was gone. And they cried and wept till they didn't have any power left, the Bible says, to cry. And they even spoke of stoning David because he's the one that took him into the land of the Philistines as he's running from Saul during this time. This all happened at the city of Ziklag, or the village or the place or town of Ziklag. The Bible says David began to pray, and he encouraged himself in the Lord.
Amen.
I love that. He encouraged himself in the Lord, and it's interesting that God told him, go on after them and recover everything. And you know, he got all of his wives back, got all of his stuff back, and they got all their kids back. They got everything back. They got it all back and more than they could even handle. They got so much stuff back that they began to disperse it to all the elders of Israel. Fascinating story. But at some point, somebody had to stop, and it was David, thank God. Somebody had to stop the crying. Somebody had to stop the whining. Somebody had to stop the moaning and groaning. And somebody had to believe God. And inquire of the Lord. In fact, that's what he did. He inquired of the Lord, and God told him, he says, yeah, go after it. Go and recover all. Pursue and recover all. Yeah, I've heard a lot of sermons on it. I preach one myself on it. You can pursue and recover all. You can take back what the devil has stolen. You can renew your strength. You can pass to power. You can increase in strength. You can turn it around. You can eat off the fruit of your lips. It doesn't matter what the world says. Don't play that game. It doesn't matter what the media says, the news says. It doesn't matter what you even feel or see with your natural eye. What matters is what God says, and that's all that matters. And He delights in doing the miraculous and the impossible in your life. Hallelujah. But it starts right here. Everything starts with the tongue. It's how God started His whole thing, and that's the answer to, that's the start of your miracle also.